Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Astros versus the Brewers. The Astros take the series 2-1, a 6-1 homestand so far. There's three left against the Angels. The Astros are 8-2 in their last 10. They're actually 13-13 at Minute Maid Park, 8-13 away. Joining me today to talk about this, Ryan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's going on, Rob? Good to see you. Nice to be back in the saddle with you.
Back in the saddle. So on the last episode, I was with Wally, and we were talking, you know what? After that sweep of the A's, with the pitching matchups we had, I was thinking 1-2 would be okay, but 2-1 would be awesome. And it seems like we won the two games that I thought we would probably lose, and we lost the game I thought we were probably going to win.
Yeah, I think that I was going into today's game a little bit more questionable when looking at the series. Yesterday's was a tough loss, but you know, the Brewers aren't a shabby team, and for them to come into Minute Maid Park and for the Astros to show up at home and take 2 out of 3 is a good showing.
I think it was pretty good. All right. So game one was Hunter Brown. This is one of those iffy games. Although I want to say last time he was out, I want to say he pitched 5 innings of two run, bullpen work, but still the confidence level's low. And it started out top of the second. Bowers had a solo home run, but then Jake the Snake in the bottom of the second inning, a 2-run bomb, 2-1 Astros. Top of the fourth, Ortiz, 3-run homer, makes it 4-2. But the Astros come back in the fifth. JP3 says, "You want to hit a 3-run homer? I'll hit a 3-run homer. We're up 5-4, that ended up being the final score. What can you say about Jake Meyers? We're going to talk about him a lot more this episode, I'm sure. But JP3, this kid struggled his second year of playing ball. And this year he, you know, talked about, I changed this on my swing and whatever he did. And he actually talked about it, but it wasn't all talk. It actually worked.
Yeah, Pena, extend the kid now. Sign him long term. Let's do it. No, I think the thing that's been really fun to watch with Pena is, man, he's hitting balls that last year were his Achilles heel. And he's hitting them with power. He's getting good barrel on the bat. And whatever it is, mechanics-wise and or vision-wise, that he did to retrain his eye to recognize those low and away breaking balls that killed him last year. This year, he's seeing the ball so much better. His swing mechanics are different. Anybody who's really been watching him for a while and really paid attention last year, you can see the difference in his swing. And like you said, that just naturally, the byproduct of that is higher confidence, and the kid is just killing it right now. And it's so much fun to watch him take this role with the team as such a young guy that has so much expectations, being, you know, the follow-up, the replacement to Carlos Correa, who meant so much to this team for so many years. To see Pena come in and really take the bull by the horns and and I don't know, I'm not going to say carry this team because there's a lot of guys right now that are contributing. But he's really stepped up in a big way that I don't think a lot of people really expected.
The thing to me about JP3 is you go into spring training and there's stories. This guy lost weight. This guy's in better shape. This guy worked on this and this guy worked on that. And it doesn't always work out. You know, we have high expectations for someone because they might have figured it out. But he's one of the ones that for sure, when he said he did it, he wasn't playing around. Hunter Brown, 5 innings, 4 hits and 4 runs, 3 walks. He gave up 4 runs, but one of them was a 3-run home run. Scott, who's been awesome. Montero, Abreu, Hader picks up save number 6. A 4-inning, 3-hit, no run outing for the bullpen. They've been great lately.
It's nice to know that you can rely on this bullpen now. You know, starting the season, the back end of the bullpen was not what anybody expected. The middle of the bullpen was the surprise because we had to have a good middle of the bullpen when going into the season. That was where all the question marks really were, is, you know, we thought we were going to have a pretty good starting rotation and the back end was supposed to be maybe the best ever that baseball has seen. And the middle of the rotation was where a lot of us, you know, we were just wondering what the heck was going to end up looking like. And we're praying that starters were going to end up being able to go deep into games and the back end of this bullpen would be able to wrap them all up. We know how all that went for the first, you know, 40-ish games, 30-ish, 35, whatever. Anyway, yeah. It's been really nice to see Hader step into his role, embrace it, and, you know, pull down those saves, definitely.
So offensively, JP3 went 1-for-4, but he made it count. And Jake only had 1 hit, and he made it count. Kyle Tucker, 2-for-3. Caratini, 2-for-4. What a great signing that was. Alex Bregman had a hit. Altuve had a hit. The Astros, 5 runs on 10 hits. 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, and they left 6 on base. Great win for the Astros, 5-4. It was a close game. It was a game that I thought maybe we would struggle with, but we won, and it was great to win that first game because game two, we have JV, and this is the game that I was counting on as a win, and we'll get to it. But so we took the lead first. Bottom of the third, Dubon had an RBI single. And then top of the fifth, he gives up a home run.
And he, which Shavy does.
Yeah, he does. And then he couldn't find the strike zone.
Yep.
Walked a couple of guys, and then him and Contreras had the battle of the century at the plate, capped off by a 3-run homer. I don't even think JV was upset about it because he said he was throwing, he was putting the pitches where he wanted to do it, and this guy just kept fouling him off. But a 3-run homer, that gave them a 4-1 lead, but it wouldn't have been that bad if he wasn't struggling fine in the zone, but that kind of like got us out of the game a little bit there.
Yeah, he said after the game, we went to battle, or we went to war, and he won. So he tipped his hat to Contreras, and, you know, JV was gassed. That inning, I mean, he threw almost 50 pitches or something ridiculous like that.
I want to say it was 50, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty darn close. And, you know, with that pitch clock, man, he was gassed. I mean, that's a sprint right there, a whole inning with 50 pitches, considering the pitch clock. And you're going after, you know, I mean, the at-bat prior to Contreras was 8 or 10 pitches.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it was a really rough inning for JV. And, yeah, you just have to tip your hat to Contreras. He legged it out and won that battle. But, you know, JV looked, I didn't think he looked that bad.
Oh, no.
He was missing the strike zone. There was a little bit of inconsistencies as far as the way some of the balls and strikes were being called. But I didn't think he looked that bad. He definitely wasn't vintage Verlander. But that was a game that I felt, again, just going back to, you know, last year and the year before, getting run support for JV sometimes comes at a premium. And so only giving JV 2 runs to work with, you know, that's a tough outing when he had to struggle the way he did there towards the end of his outing. So that's a game that you'd really probably like to come back and play again.
Yeah.
But it went the way that it was. There were a lot of people that were really upset. Twitter was going crazy. The spaces were all, yeah, the Astros, you know, are they back to their own ways of not scoring runs? And, you know, it's just one of those games. It's baseball. Yeah. It's baseball.
It happens. So those are his only two walks of the game. Mm-hmm. He walked the two guys in front of that 3-run bomb. But Jake Meyers, he tried to give us a little bit of hope. He had a solo home run, his 5th homer of the year in the 5th. And then there was no more scoring. So he did lose 4-2. JV, 4 2/3. So he almost got out of the 5th. 4 hits, 4 runs, all of them in the 5th. 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. Going into the 5th inning, his pitch count was 40 or something like that. And it looked like he was easily going to stroll 7 or 8 innings for us. And it was looking good going into the 5th. Magic Man, 2 1/3 inning, 2 hits and a walk and no runs. And Parker Meschinski, who just got brought up this week, 2 innings of scoreless baseball. And what's crazy about his stat line, no hits, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts, 2 innings and all zeros. What can you say about these two guys that come in and it's kind of like these games where they throw people like this in there, you know, and they throw Taylor Scott and Meschinski and this kind of, it feels like these are the games that, okay, this game's kind of gotten away from us. Let's save our bullets for the next game. But they did perfect. They did great.
Yeah. If there was a bright spot in that game, it was definitely those guys, you know, Meschinski getting called up and thrown back into the mix, which he has been quite a few times over the course of the last couple of years with this team. He usually comes up and actually ends up doing pretty good. And, you know, answers the call. So yeah, if there was a bright spot last night, it was definitely Meschinski and the Magic Man, you know, doing their work from the bullpen. So I had to say that, you know, the other bright spot obviously is Jake. But last night, one of the other things that I really noticed was Peña and Altuve's work together defensively. There were a couple of plays in that game where they just looked way smoother and they just looked like meshed together than really they have been, maybe ever. There were just some plays where Altuve fed Peña the ball or Peña fed Altuve the ball, and it just looked like they were in sync. And not that they've never been before. There was just something different about that defensive play from them from them last night. There were a couple there up the middle that was – it just the chef's kiss on them. It was, again, sad to lose that game because of some of those bright spots. But it's one of those games
just that you ride one off inning.
Hit just the next that one, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was today. Altuve stopped the ball. And our announcers actually said, all right, that's a hit up the middle. Oh, wait. Altuve got it, threw it over to Jeremy Peña. So Jake the Snake, I want to call him Jake the Snake, but Jake from Rake Farm, 3 for 4. He had an RBI and he scored twice. Dubon, 1 for 3. He drove in a run. Altuve, I didn't look this up, but I think the last series he got a hit every game and he got a hit this game. Did he get a hit the first game? Yeah, 1 for 4. It's like he's going 1 for 4 every game. Yordan 1 for 4, Kyle Tucker 0 for 2, but he walked twice. Peña 1 for 4, Singleton 1 for 4. The Astros scored 2 runs on 8 hits, 1 for 6 of runners in scoring position. They left 7 on base. Definitely a game we could have won, but it's definitely not a game that I ran to Twitter and I cried about things and said, oh, what's wrong with them? I don't think people realize what they're doing right now. If you have anything negative to say about our team, It's the 2 series before the Yankees and since. They've been amazing. Game 3, Spencer Arrighetti. This is another one. But last time out, I believe he picked up his first win. He's pitching better. And this is a game that I cried about. I tweeted something out because I was pissed. I was mad about something, folks, and we'll get to it. So top of the first, Yelich had an RBI single. And then we go to the bottom of the first. Altuve swings at the first pitch, crushes it. 8th home run of the year. We're up. It's tied 1-1. Alvarez scored on a Singleton ground out. And then Jake Meyers, a 2-run double, 4-1 Astros.
You know, what's really awesome is in these games like tonight, today, where the Astros really click and everything comes together, everybody in the lineup is conspiring to help this team win. I mean, Caratini was the only one without a hit tonight, today, right? I think that there's something that is gelling with this team. Just talked about Altuve and Peña playing defense together, but there's some confidence going all the way through this lineup. And these guys are going out there, and now they've just kind of they've built that, say the word confidence again, in knowing that when they go out there, they're going to go out there and hit the ball. They're going to go out there and make something happen. Those first 30 games of the season, you didn't sense that from this team. The rest of the league is in trouble watching this team play again today, coming off of a loss, and knowing that, you know, Jake is hot. Tucker is, I'm sure we'll touch on that. But he's ridiculously hot right now as well. And everybody is doing their part. I think that's the thing about this team right now that I've noticed is we're not relying on, oh, Tucker and Peña at the top of the lineup are the only ones really doing anything. 1 through 9, guys are contributing. No matter who Espada is putting out, they're all contributing something to this team for the most part. Diaz has been struggling. Jordan has been struggling. But you know, Jordan today, dang, stealing a base. He hadn't done that in 2 years, 3 years. But these guys are playing with a little bit of chutzpah, and I love it.
Yeah. So Singleton had an RBI single in the fifth. We go up 5-1. When I looked at the pitching matchups, I could be wrong, but it was like Spencer Arrighetti, JV, and Hunter Brown against three pitchers that their ERA was all in the threes. They all only had one loss. The Brewers had a great record, and it didn't look that great. I mean, but you got to have confidence in this team now after this series. Kyle Tucker had a home run, 14th home run of the year. He leads the Major League Baseball in home runs. We're up 6-1. And here's where I get upset. Spencer Arrighetti pitches probably one of his best games of the season, and they throw him back out there in the seventh. He's got 80 pitches, maybe in the 80s. And he goes in, and I think he just walks two guys. I can't remember what happened, but it seemed like two guys got on very, very easily, and then they pull him out, and then they bring Abreu in. It's like, give Abreu a clean inning. Like, what are you doing? And they're like, this guy has never thrown this many innings in his career. He's never went this far, not even in minor league baseball. Like, why would you do this to him? Why would you? I mean, maybe he wanted to go in. I don't know. Maybe he wants to. It's kind of like they're like what they were saying on TV is they're like, let's throw him out there and see what he can do. Let's see if he can go where he's never been before. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Yeah. You know, I think that obviously when looking back at this and seeing, you know, him going that deep into the game and let's test him out, let's let him build some confidence or let him feel out a different part of the game that he's never really been to before. You had the lead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to damage a guy like Arrighetti's confidence, throwing him out there and testing him this early in his career and this early in his season. In my opinion, I think that maybe the lead that they had buffered that decision for Espada and Miller to say, hey, let's get him out there and let's see if he can wrap up a few more, save some of the bullpen for the next series. And you may be right. Maybe Arrighetti went to those two guys, Espada and Miller, and said, hey, I'm good. I want to go back out there and see if I can really wrap this up. Being a rookie, I kind of have a hard time buying into that maybe a little bit. But at the same time, if they asked him, hey, how are you feeling? We'd love to save the bullpen. Can you go another one? What rookie in that position is going to say, no, man, I'm gassed. I'm done. Heck yeah. Give me the ball, coach. Like, I'm in, right?
Yeah.
So it could have gone a number of ways in that conversation. But in the end, it played out as a win. Did he have to go in and get tested like that? Maybe not.
Yeah. So the thing that makes me mad is this. And for me, it's just me wanting him to look, I don't know. I mean, he's getting better, but I want him getting better to show up in his stats. Because his first game out, he got lit up. And in a normal situation, they would have taken him out. But they just left him out there. And I think, I don't know how many innings he pitched, but they just let him get 9 runs scored against him. And his ERA was in the 40s or something ridiculous. It was super, super high. And every game he's been bringing it down. And he had it down. And by going in there and giving up 2 runs, it kind of hurt it. Yep. He wasn't out there pitching when it happened, but he was the one that got the runners on. So for me, that's what it was. It's like he got his ERA down from where it started, and then it went right back up with those 2 runs. So that's kind of what bothered me. And it's like if you got Abreu ready to go, just put him out there. I don't
know. Yeah. And Felix left us a comment and raised a really good point. Probably wouldn't have been that big of a problem if you had somebody warming up in the bullpen. So, you know, perhaps after that first little bit of Arrigetti getting out there and starting to struggle, they had to let him go another batter probably or two to get the bullpen warmed up. So that's a really good point.
I think he got one guy out, if I'm not mistaken. He had to have because
he had 6 in the third. 6 in the third, yep.
Felix, thank you for your comment. I don't know. I mean, to me, we're cruising 6-1. This guy hasn't been there. You know, he hasn't been that far yet. And maybe they just wanted to test him. But like I said, for me, it's the fact that his ERA was so ballooned, and I'd like to see him chop it down. And it, I don't know. Hindsight's 2020 because I wouldn't have got mad if he would have struck 3 guys out. I wouldn't have said a word.
Yeah, we'd have been celebrating, right? Arrigetti went 7.
But it just looked like when he went out there, it's like, I guess that's why, because you could tell he wasn't ready. He's gassed. He's too tired. He wasn't ready. But he went. Let me see. I think we got more scoring here. So they got a 2-run single, 6-3. Oh, they scored 3 runs. They tacked 3 runs on him. And then Yelich had an RBI single, 6-4. And then so they made it closer there. But Kyle Tucker said, "I got you. I got you in the bottom of the 7, 3-run homer, 9-4 win for the Astros." Kyle Tucker's been amazing. I don't think the player of the series is going to be that hard, but I think Kyle Tucker is going to be one of the guys that are up there. Arrigetti, 6 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. It should have been 5 innings, 3 runs. Oh, 6 innings, 3 runs, 0 runs, 1 run. Whatever, I'm lost. But his ERA is 7.16, and it would have been lower if they wouldn't have threw him back there. Abreu, 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits, no runs allowed. Scott, 2 innings. This guy's been amazing, too. 1 hit and 2 strikeouts. Who is this guy? Who is this guy wearing Charlie Morton's jersey? Kyle Tucker went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs. That's home run number 15, I believe. Singleton, 2-for-4. I heard this. Did you hear this today that Abreu's coming back?
I saw the reports that he could very well meet them in Oakland next week.
Yikes. Everybody's thinking the same thing probably. Come on, dude. Yeah. You figured it out that fast? Come on. All right.
No, Jake, I mean, he hasn't performed. He hasn't performed well in FCL. He just hasn't really. He hasn't. I don't know. I don't know.
Why is he coming back? Because he can, I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Singleton, 2-for-4. Jake went 3-for-5. He drove in 2. Lo Profito, quietly, hitting .333. He went 2-for-3 today. Altuve, another hit. Yordan, 1-for-3, 2 runs. Altuve's hit was a home run. The Astros, 9 runs on 14 hits. You got to love this offense. 4-for-16 with runners in scoring position. And they left 11 on base. I could care less if you do that if you score 9 runs.
Yep.
I will take this. My thoughts on this series, this will be my thoughts before we get to the fun stuff. They surprised me. I figured, okay, they're going to win the JV game, and hopefully one of these guys can get one of these wins for us. And man, if JV wouldn't have blew up that inning, we might have swept them. And we're talking about what would it be? A 5-8 game win streak?
Yep.
Woo.
Yep.
All right.
Would have been. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, pal. All right. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to give you our Ram Shirts player of the game. He sent me this because it's so familiar to some similar to the name of the show. It's not even a fancy shirt, but I really like it. Yeah. I can't figure out the camera on this. Yeah, all right. But anyway, folks. Yeah. Anyway, folks, we'll be right back with more Astros baseball.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. It is time for the Ram Shirts Players of the Series. I need to put like an echo on right there. Let me tell you something real quick, because I wanted to say this earlier. Today was the first day in my 53 years on Earth that I went to the chiropractor.
Oh.
And that noise, I'm already scared of it, looking at people do it, but when he did it to me, I yelled, "Fuck!" I didn't have to finish the word. I was like, it was the craziest feeling, and he did it twice, but I'm still hurting, but it's okay.
Oh, wow. Well, I started going to the chiropractor very young as an athlete, probably middle school, high school, I guess. But so I've been used to it for a long time, but that doesn't mean I haven't gone in my older age and had some adjustments that made me feel just the way that you explained. Yeah.
Dang. And my wife was next to me, and he did her, and it was like click.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh, I guess it's louder when you're the one that's being done to. And the doctor's like, oh no, yours was pretty loud. Like, okay, I thought it was just me. All right. Ram Shirts, player of the series. Pitcher. Who do you got, pal?
I'm gonna give it to Arrigetti. Despite his seventh inning blow up, the kid went out there and started a game and pitched six really good innings, kept this team in the game. His stuff was working well. He worked with Caratini very well today. And that was, I guess his last outing he threw to Diaz. So I'm going to give Arrigetti the nod for this one today. For his outing today.
Well, my pitcher of the series is also Spencer Arrigetti. So you're thinking the same thing I am. I think you did great.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do got a comment here. Let's see what they got. Is it a chiropractor comment or is it
it's Felix.
Not having a reliever warming. Okay.
He said his was Tyler Scott.
That'd be a good pick, Felix. Definitely a good pick.
Definitely a good pick.
That's what we did last time. We picked a lot of guys that, but the Coach Rose, there's room for him there. Position player, who do you got?
I'm giving the nod to Jake Myers, Jake the Rake from Rake Farm. He has shown up in ways that a lot of people have not expected Jake to show up this season. And today pushed him over the 900 OPS mark. And he has come out of nowhere, I guess you could say. There were some of us that expected this out of Jake because I think that we knew that how good he was going to be when not injured. But I'm going to give it to Jake Myers just purely because I think fan expectation of Jake Myers is still somewhat low for some reason and to some extent. So Jake from Rake Farm is my player of the series.
My position player of the series is also Jake Myers. One for three.
We did not discuss this prior.
No. One for three. Drove in two. Three for four. Drove in one. Three for five. Drove in two. Seven for 12. Five RBIs. And Chaz McCormick, who? That's how it is.
Yikes.
He's playing so good that people aren't like, oh, I can't wait till Chaz gets back. He's playing very good. Very
Rob,
good.
Rob, he has a 1.136 ERA for the month of May.
Who does?
Jake Myers.
ERA?
Or what did I say? I said ERA. I meant OPS.
OPS. That's what I thought you were saying.
OPS. 1.136 OPS. A 674 slug. 462 on base percentage. And a 391 batting average in the month of May. Those are ridiculous numbers. Over these next six games that come up. How many more games do we have left in May? Today's the 19th. Jake is in the running for player of the month. He's going to have to be with those kind of numbers, and he might be very well fighting his own teammate Kyle Tucker. But Jake Myers is on a run.
All right. So Felix said someone on Twitter said something interesting. Lunau drafted him. Click wanted him to start, and Brown gave him the position. So three general managers trust Jake Myers. I got a cough. But anyway, who do you got as the Coach Rose winner, someone that exceeded your expectations?
I'm going to give it to Jeremy Pena. I think that Jeremy Pena, we talked about it. The kid has shown up in ways that were just very different from last year. And the guy is coming to the plate in big moments. He's making really, really great defensive plays and saving this team some runners on base. And I like Jeremy Pena to get my Rose.
All right. This is the only time we're not going to agree. But this one is hard to agree on because there's so many things that you could do. You could say like, well, I think Kyle Tucker should have won award just based on all the home runs he hit. So I'm going to give it to him. But I give it to, and we brought him up earlier about how good he's done. Just barely got called up. Parker Mashinsky, two scoreless innings. He's the one with all the zeros. I'll take that. Parker Mashinsky is my Coach Rose winner.
Right.
All right. So I don't know if I have this banner or not for that. Oh, yeah, I do. Standings are getting better, folks. Standings are getting better. Seattle 25 and 22. Texas 24 and 24. They're a game and a half back. The Astros 21 and 26. Four games back. Me and Wally did a fair foul. Will the Astros be three games back at the end of the 10-game homestand? And they're getting there. They are getting there like a freight train. Oakland and L.A. is seven games back. And that is our next opponent, the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. Framber's going on – sometimes I forget what day it is. They're going on Monday against Detmers, who's 3-4 with a 5.19 ERA. Then it's Javier, who bounced back last time. 3.23 ERA against Canning, 2-4 with 5.21. And then Hunter Brown, 7.71, even after that great game, versus Anderson, who's 4-4 with a 2.72 ERA. I would say the pitching advantage, the better team advantage, this could be a sweep.
This series going in is going to be an interesting one because I think the Rangers just lost 2 of 3 against Anaheim. They lost today, I know, 4-1. And so, yes, this is a series that the Astros need to sweep. I mean, if you want to really start making some people mad around the league, get out there and sweep the Angels and get back up there at the top of the AL West, because neither the Mariners or the Rangers are playing very good ball right now. Mm-hmm. The Astros could very well be atop of the AL West by the end of the week.
Could be. All right. Now it is time. Oh, we already talked about that. Next up, Angels. Sorry, folks. I am not quick with that. All right. So this is the first time for you to do this. We've been doing fair or foul, but last episode, and I don't know if I was expecting you to do this, so we'll see. We'll see if you like it. Last time they were all about baseball, and this time it is not.
Okay.
This was kind of, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. So I will say, would you rather? I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it. Would you rather? And then I'll give you two options.
Okay. Bring it on.
You can't be like Wally and have stipulations. Oh, it depends on if it's 80 degrees or if it's 70 degrees. Oh, this one is actually about that. All right. Would you rather give up air conditioning and heating or the internet?
Man.
But can we still have Wi-Fi to so we can watch TV? That would count, right?
Can I just give up the heat and keep the AC?
See, but it's
I do
tough.
Live in Houston, right? Yeah, That's tough. You know,
I have to learn to live without the internet, dude.
I don't know, man. I've lived in Houston all my life. I jump into hot cars and in and out. So I do a lot of stuff outside. I work out outside, play baseball outside, run around with the kids outside. I'm a little acclimatized to the heat. And so I think if I had just some sort of ventilation, so the house didn't get like super stuffy, I'd probably go without AC as opposed to the internet.
Yeah. I would just start reading or something.
Just start reading books. Rob's going back to the 1890s.
Because to me, I don't want to Wally in here, but I mean, I need internet to watch TV. So I guess I would have to switch to something else because I stream on my TVs. So I'm kind of wondering if they just mean like getting on the internet, not really having
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm super active in socials and I'm kind of a nerd and love to learn stuff. And I use the internet, watch videos and read research papers and stuff like that. So I'd have a very hard time going about daily life without the internet.
Yeah. So we went to HEB today on the way out. I'm like, I want to live somewhere else. It is too hot. It's too hot. So I say I'd rather just give up the internet.
Yeah. There are a lot of people across Houston right now that are without AC. So still.
You can get used to it.
Yeah.
It takes a while, but you get used.
It takes a while. Yep.
Just like you can get used to not having the internet.
Sure.
You're probably like, wow, I have so much free time.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a lot of free time now.
Yes.
You'll get your life back and you'll be comfortable. All right. Number two, would you rather be able to detect every lie that you hear or get away with every lie that you tell?
I'd rather get away with every lie that I tell. Wow. I think my confidence would take a hit if I knew when people were lying to me. I think my way of relating to people would take too much of a hit. So sometimes I'd much rather be.
You wouldn't go, you're lying.
Yeah, I don't know that I would. I mean,
it'd be like, this guy knows you were lying all the time.
That would be really hard. That would be really hard. I don't know. I guess I'd rather people believe my lies as opposed to me knowing everyone else's lies. I don't know. I like to see the best in people, so I think that would ruin my perspective
that's true.
of some people too. So
I went with detect every lie I hear. And I'm going to tell you this, and some people listening may not believe this, but I do not lie. So I don't need that power.
Yeah.
I don't need to get away with it. Because if you lie once, you got to lie again, then you got to lie again.
Yeah.
And I just don't lie.
One up and, yep.
I don't have any reason to lie. I don't have, I don't. If I do something wrong at work, I'm like, I did this and that shit broke. And, you know, I know it's going to cost the company a lot of money, but I did it. Oh, it's okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. All right.
It's a great way to go through life. Definitely.
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm even known for not lying at work. Somebody did something. They're like, I'm glad Rob wasn't around because I knew he
would have told the truth.
Yeah. He wouldn't have lied for me, but I'm not a rat either. So I guess I have lied.
Yeah.
Because I've been to HR. Hey, did you hear this guy say this? Even though I did, I'm like, I didn't hear anything.
Mm.
That's not really, I mean, I'm lying to them, but I'm just not a rat. Mm. I can't. I'm fighting for the person to keep their job unless they did something bad. You see him slap that girl? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Here we go. We're both married. So let's see what we say about this.
Oh, boy.
Number three.
Can I plead the fifth?
I didn't try to answer these. I wrote them down and I try to forget all about them so that we can have fun together. Would you rather marry someone that doesn't love you or marry someone that you don't love? Wow. I can tell you my answer right here, just reading that. I'd rather marry someone that I don't love.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to be with someone that didn't love me. I could be okay being the guy that's not in love, but being someone loving is nice.
Yep. Yep. I think I'd agree with you on that.
All right. We got one out of three. All right. Number four. Would you rather know when you are going to die or how you're going to die? Wow.
I'd probably rather know how as opposed to when.
Ooh, what if it was something horrible?
I think that I would not
go about
life. Yeah, but I wouldn't probably go about life naturally.
Yeah.
And enjoy certain things if I knew when. I think there would be too much expectations on just day-to-day life.
Yeah,
that I wouldn't be able to enjoy just life happening.
You can enjoy life more because you know how much time you got left, and you're I got to enjoy life.
It's kind of true. Yeah, it's kind of true unless it's 24 hours or 48 hours from now.
You're gonna die tomorrow.
I just know that I don't know. That would be that. I mean, that's a really tough one. It really is for me because I just think that, when you've had people around you die for certain reasons and not live a long life, you do certain things do come into perspective. So I think I'd rather go through life just naturally and not have an expectation based on time. None of us have much of it anyway. So,
So you want to know when you're going to die?
No, I want to know how.
You want to know how?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So what if your greatest fear is like my greatest fear? And I'll tell you this, I was watching these videos. Actually, I watched one video and then they kept popping up on TikTok of these guys that like squeeze into those caves. And it makes me sick. Because I have the worst claustrophobia ever. And if I know, if you know you're going to die in an avalanche, just stay, you would try to, I'm going to stay away from hills. I'm going to do, I'd rather just know when I'm going to die. Because like I was trying to say earlier, if you're going to die in a car wreck, every time you turn the key, you're like, is today the day I'm going to die?
Today the day.
It's today.
It's already that way, but.
But if you know when you're going to die, or I don't know, that would be tough. Be tough on your family.
I think you could game either. You could game either one, really.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a car wreck, then how do you game that by, you know, avoiding being in the car or the avalanche or whatever, you know,
And you really can.
Time, you know? Yeah.
So we're opposite on that one. You'd rather know how. But it would be cool if they're like, you're going to die of old age. Yes. Then,
yes.
Then you get both answers at once.
Thank you. That's right.
All right. Number five. Would you rather be able to teleport yourself anywhere or be able to read people's minds?
Teleport.
Me too.
Yep.
Teleport me around, baby. I don't care what everybody's in everybody's heads.
Yep. I don't want to be in any, my mind is already messed up. I don't want to be in anybody else's mind. I mean, I can't imagine. This can be a dark place sometimes.
It's just like right now when I said we went to HEB and it was hot, I'd be like, blink my eyes and I'm in Alaska in the snow cooling off. Then I come back.
Yeah. Not even the snow. I'm not a super big fan of snow, but take me somewhere that's 75 and sunny. I'll be.
Yeah. Good. Anything like that. But I mean, you're sweaty. You're not going to go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you care about reading people's minds? I mean,
no, I don't want
to. I think that would get like, that would be a really good Twilight Zone episode. I think it would drive you crazy after a while. Unless you choose to read.
There's a couple of movies out there, right? Who was the guy who, the movie where he could read women's minds?
What a Woman Wants?
Gosh, is that what that movie was?
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then they remade it.
I couldn't go through life like that, man.
I wonder if it depends on if you choose to read them.
Oh, no,
like, you didn't. Yeah, I want to read your mind.
There.
Yeah.
Put that in.
Because you have the ability to read their mind.
Okay.
Okay. It doesn't really say that you can turn that on and off, but I don't really care about that. I'd rather teleport anywhere because I like to travel and I hate long plane trips. I'd like to go overseas, but if I could just teleport myself there in a snap, I'll take
it. Yeah, that would be great. We're going to spend the afternoon in Paris, babe.
It's only you. You're like, you got to fly. I'll see you there.
All right. Well, yeah.
But tell me when you get there and I'll teleport myself there. All right. What the hell? Final thoughts. I'm going to show you this real quick.
Okay.
This is Wally said this. Hopefully he doesn't watch the video. This was who I wrote this. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to explain that to you later, but I put that on there to make him laugh after the show last week. He didn't say it on the show, but anyway, final thoughts. What you got,
That's
pal?
That's funny. Man, my final thoughts. I'm excited to see that the Astros have some confidence and they have a little bit of snap in their step, right? I think that going into this Angels series, this might yet be the most important series of the season so far because of the way that the Mariners and the Rangers are both playing at the current time. I think this is a series that the Astros can take, and it's a series where the Astros could seriously make some hay in the division. And, you know, if this is the last series before Abreu and or Chaz come back, I think they need to set some expectations for what those two guys are going to need to be able to perform, at what levels those guys are going to be able to perform coming back and being accepted back to some significant playing time. So this is a big series coming up. I'm excited to see it. And I just may be going to the game on Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Wally brought this up on the last episode. The way that Jake Myers is playing, the way that Singleton's playing, he's not like gangbusters, but he's good for a hit. He's good for something. Mm-hmm. You know what I noticed, and I forgot to bring it up. I was so impressed with Loperfido's bunt. He bunted we had a runner on first and second. He bunted him over, and it was the most beautiful bunt. And I was thinking, this is the guy that needs to be up in the 10th inning. If he's sitting on the bench that game, we go into the 10th inning. That's the guy you want, because that's the first and best bunt I've seen by an Astro in 10 years.
Yep. Well, I think the disappointing thing about Chaz and Abreu coming back is it probably means Loperfido taking a trip back to Sugar Land.
Really?
I think him and Cabbage are, I mean, they don't have anybody else to really send down. So I think it's going to have to be Loperfido and Cabbage for both of those two guys to come back.
Wow.
So that's a little disappointing.
It is.
Considering how well Loperfido has performed. Small sample size, granted, but to think that those are the two guys that are I mean, there's no other position player choice, really.
Yeah. He's 333, man.
So
I know. Wow. It's gonna be interesting.
It will be.
Maybe the Astros do something. Maybe they do something. I can definitely see Chaz getting traded now. But anyway, that's all I have.
Those of you not watching the video, I just gave Rob a big nod on that.
Well, you're the one that opened our eyes. People that listen to this show, they know that you have the stats, and Chaz McCormick does really good, and then he tails off if he plays too much. But Jake Myers is just getting better and better and better. And I was one of those guys at the beginning of the year that said, Jake Myers is the center fielder. What are you talking about? Chaz McCormick is the center fielder. And I was wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong, because like we said earlier, I don't lie.
Yeah. Well, I think there's still, you know, there was a lot of speculation coming into the season, but I think that there was some definite ways to look at the end of last season and some of the stats from last season and see how Dusty used these guys and extrapolate that out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I think Jake's season last year, when Chaz went down and Jake got all the playing time, he was awesome. He looks just like he was looking right now. And vice versa, you know, when Chaz got a ton of playing time, very much like Dubon, you see the roller coaster ride and they end up tailing off and finding sea level again. So I think Jake is the real deal. This is not me saying that I don't think Chaz is the real deal. I think Chaz was quite possibly, other than Maldi, the biggest benefactor of Dusty Baker being the manager of the Houston Astros last year. Dusty knew how to use Chaz and put him in situations where he could succeed. And, you know, maybe a spot I didn't catch on to exactly what Dusty was doing and didn't give Chaz the benefit of the doubt to start this season. So hopefully he comes. Look, I want every guy on this team to succeed and come back and play really well. And if that means that Chaz comes back and does really well, then great. If Abreu comes back and contributes to this team, you know, we're paying you a ton of money. I hope you do come back and contribute to the team. But
I do too.
At the same time, got a little something good going on right now. So let's not mess with it too much.
All right. That's it, folks. I don't know how in the hell two of us got 50 minutes, but we did it. My battery's running low. I just got that alert. So it is, there's not a better time to say goodbye. So for Ryan, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you next time on Astros Bay.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.